PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my golfing friends, to another episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is President of Dynamic Brands, I believe is the name, but it's actually Bag Boy Golf. Is with us, Craig Ramsbottom. How are you, good sir?
Doing well. Thanks, Dan. Good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. I believe if the research is correct, everyone can follow Bag Boy Golf on Instagram as well as Bag Boy Company on Twitter, but it looks like you guys are all in on the IG game. Is that true?
That's true, yes.
Yep. Okay. Anywhere else people can find you before we really kick this off?
I think you can find us on Twitter. And Bag Boy's been we actually focused on our social media over the last few years and hired a person to head that up for us, and she's doing a great job. So I think you'll find us out there and find us pretty active.
Yeah, perfect. Well, it's a big year for you guys. Let's kick it off in a big way. It's 75 years in the business for Bag Boy. That's a pretty big deal. Now, I know you haven't been there for all 75, but you've had a pretty solid run, obviously coming close to 20 years that you've been with the brand. How have things changed from the origins of the company? And maybe just give us a background of what Bag Boy is.
Yeah, sure. Bag Boy started as a push cart company. We refer to our carts now as push carts, but 75 years ago, they were pool carts. And gentleman out in Portland, Oregon, was probably tired of carrying his golf bag and was out cutting the grass and said, you know, I've got an idea here. So he took a couple of lawnmower wheels and with a spring-loaded chassis, he attached it to his golf bag, and voila, the first pool cart was designed, and that eventually became the Bag Boy Company, and they had so much success, they ended up mass-producing the product, and for many years, Bag Boy has been the premier, you know, walking cart company in golf. And so, yeah, that pretty simple beginnings, but there was a need, and this guy saw a need, and we all benefit today from being able to walk around the golf course with a push cart.
So that's a big change in 75 years, and I'm obviously not the oldest person to talk about, especially from a 75 year perspective. But in my 36 years of life, I've seen a transition of perspective from that pull to push, and more so now where people have accepted the fact that there is a benefit to not hauling around a heavy bag on their back. So, you know, it becomes more commonplace, I guess. So my question to you is, in the 20 years you've been with the company, how much has that presence changed from a push cart perspective?
Yeah, you're right, Dan. It's changed a lot. I mean, just so 20 years ago was about the start of push carts. And so as I came on board, the industry and the company was transitioning from a two-wheel pool cart to a three-wheel push cart. And so it's changed tremendously. I mean, at that point in time, you know, pool carts were seen as a daily fee type course product. It wasn't necessarily something that a lot of people wanted to do. They looked down upon carts. And so a lot of golf courses and country clubs didn't allow them. And so we've seen a real change over 20 years to where, you know, now it's the preferred method of walking the golf course. Even so much so, you know, the early adopters, you have high school and college golfers who've been reticent to use a push cart, and especially the boys versus the girls. The girls have adopted the push carts much more so than the guys. But, you know, a lot of guys just don't think it's cool. It's not something they want to do. They want to carry their clubs. And so over the last couple of years, we've seen a real change there as well. And pool carts, you know, have become three-wheel, four-wheel push carts, and it's big. Become a cool accessory within the golf industry. And, you know, there's been studies done. You know, it doesn't matter how good your conditioning is. At the end of a 18-hole round of carrying your golf clubs, you're going to be fatigued, and you're going to fatigue some of your muscles from carrying and walking the course. And so there's been studies done that show you're going to perform better and score lower using a push cart versus carrying your clubs. And so, yeah, we think it's the way to walk the course. And, you know, it allows you to walk the course and have all your all those creature comforts and all the things you want to have on the golf course that sometimes, you know, most people think of needing a riding cart to take some of the things with them. And so now you can have your beverages and a snack and your phone and, you know, your umbrella and, you know, rain gear and anything you might need. Now you've got a push cart and you've got some storage and you're pushing that heavier bag around when it's loaded up for a full day on the course.
So, yeah, obviously not your grandfather's rickshaw is what we're getting to here. But, you know, you mentioned four versus three wheels. I'm more familiar with the three wheel experience, but there's obviously a lot of golfers out there who prefer the four wheel experience. What do you see the trend there from the different types of golfer pursuing that? And what is your personal preference when it comes to the two of them?
So, you know, the wheelbase and the stability might be slightly different between a three and a four wheel cart. Three wheels got a little bit more distance between the front wheels and the back wheels. And maybe a little bit more maneuverability with the three wheel, but the four wheel is going to give you more stability. And so I think there's pros and cons to each, but they're subtle differences. So it's more personal preference. I've actually switched recently. I was traditionally a four wheel push cart guy, and you know, we introduced a new three wheel cart. And so I've been using that, and I do like the three wheel, the feel and the look and the push around the course. So again, I think it's more personal preference than anything else. Both products offer great options and, you know, ease of use.
So you mentioned a new cart, or I'm assuming you're talking about Nitron. That's what you're rocking right now. Yes. What is, for those out there unfamiliar with it, what is Nitron and what are the benefits of it?
Yeah, so one of the things that Bag Boy is focused on through their product improvements and introductions of push carts is the ease of use and ease of open and close. So, you know, whether it's a four-wheel push cart or a three-wheel push cart, it's going to compact so it fits in your trunk of the car, your locker, your garage, your storage unit, wherever you're keeping your push cart in the back of your car, you know, it's going to compact. And so essentially when you use the cart, you open and close it each time. And so we've always focused on ease of open. And so we've taken it to a new level with the Nitron. It's truly a one-step open. It's an auto open. All I have to do is really unlock a latch and the cart's going to automatically open for me. And you may say, wow, how does it do that? Well, the Nitron comes with a canister that basically fills with air when you compact it. So you do have to fold the cart down. It's a real simple two-step process. But when you're done playing and you want to compact the cart and put it in your trunk, you essentially, as you compact it, this canister fills with air. And so now that is just waiting to power the open of the cart when you're ready to open it again. And so it's a basic, simple process, but it's built into the center shaft of the cart, and it's a very unique, patented, innovative technology that makes it so simple to open and close the cart. And so there's nothing like it on the market, and the cart itself has all the features of a high-end three-wheel cart, ease of use, great roll, spot for your phone, your golf balls, storage for head covers and accessories, and handbrake, umbrella holder, very, you know, consumer friendly, enjoyable to use.
Yeah. One of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot is, obviously there's durability, which I think is worth discussing, but the sort of lightweight benefits of being able to maneuver it in and out of a car is obviously a big deal. How much concession do you make from a weight to durability standpoint when you're designing these carts, knowing that golfers of all types, ages are having to get it from point A to point B, which would be in and out of the car?
Yeah, it is important. You know, carts can weigh anywhere from maybe 15 to 25 pounds. And so you're correct. You're lifting that cart, you know, after you compact it, you're lifting it, putting it in your car, in your trunk, you know, getting it in and out of the garage, whatever the situation may be. So we do try to focus on the weight of the cart. And I think, you know, there's certainly a tie-in and a correlation with quality and durability. And the Bag Boy company has been known for quality and durability for many, many years. And so, you know, there's a little bit of a, you might say, a formula or equation there to make sure that the product's going to last and exceed the consumer expectations. But at the same time, be as light as we can make it so that you can maneuver the cart. And so the Nitron Air is on the lighter side. It's just under 17 pounds. So, you know, most carts are in that 20 pound range, and we like to stay under that. And the Nitron certainly fits that bill.
It seems like you mentioned this internal design that simplifies the experience for golfers, and I've looked at your products pretty regularly, and I'm familiar with the idea that you are introducing these things that people maybe didn't know they wanted. And if they were looking at a golf bag, having it there is the difference of ease of use and practicality, I suppose you could say. And I'm looking at things like your revolver technology, the chiller bag that you'd never really think, like, do I need something to pull in and out of my golf bag, or do I just kind of tolerate what I have and you know, go from there? It seems like your group over there is trying to find ways to introduce, like, how can we customize this experience for a certain type of golfer and give them something they didn't know they want, but then when they found out they could have it, they're like, yes, I absolutely have to have that.
Yeah, no, you make a great point. The consumer experience, I mean, I think you see that in consumer products in general, not just the golf industry, but you're right, it's very important to give the golfer a reason to use your product. And so, like a lot of consumer product industries, it's very competitive. We have a lot of competition. And so, you know, we want to design golf bags along with our golf carts to give the consumer a really enjoyable experience on the golf course. And you make a great point about those two golf bags. The Revolver is a unique, innovative bag that's been part of the Bag Boy family for many years. And it comes with a revolving center tube that allows you on a riding cart, allows you to spin basically your 14 clubs and get the one that you want to be in front of you and give you that easy access. So if the club is in a spot that's closer to where you're sitting and is away from your reach, or it's in the way of the bag beside you on the riding cart, you know, you can basically and so just a consumer friendly feature. And that bag has gone through a bit of a redesign recently, and we've added some features. One of the features that the consumers were looking for is the external putter well. So being able to have an external tube on the bag that just gives you, again, easy access to a club, and in this case it's the putter. We've upgraded the materials. We added a couple extra pockets, and we added a waterproof valuables pocket as well. So it's a great golf bag, and it while we try to design products that work on our push carts, because that's really a big part of who Bag Boy is, we certainly design products with the riding golfer in mind as well. And that's really where the Revolver comes in. It's more specifically designed for a riding golfer.
And yeah. And you imagine golfers who may be a little bit shorter or, you know, right, don't have that range of motion to kind of lean over into the bag and start hunting for the wedge that's buried in the back. Now, I didn't think really much of the idea until we actually had one, I think two or three of them in the THP Tech studio earlier in the year. And I was demoing some clubs there in the hitting bay. And I was actually spitting the Revolver to find the one I liked. And I realized, like, it's not so much that I knew I needed it. It was until I started using it, I was like, wow, this is awesome how easy this is to use. And especially if it's locked into a cart. I mean, it's just like you're not hunting anymore. It's not like Where's Waldo at this point. It's now just, you know, let's spit it until we find it and then feel pretty good about it. I love that stuff. And in terms of the... You had mentioned it went through a redesign. Is there anything, the application of the revolving piece that changed, or is it all about the features that benefit the bag?
Yeah, more so about the features. Mm-hmm. The revolving system itself has been, you know, designed and improved to the point where there's not a lot of changes there. It's going to revolve for you, and the clubs lock in place. They lock in place at the top and the bottom. If you want to lock them in the top, that's your decision. But there is a clip lock system within each spot, and so you can lock the shaft in so the clubs don't rattle and bang together. But if you don't want to do that and you just want to lock it in at the bottom, there is a grid on the bottom of the bag, and so it grabs a hold of each grip and just kind of gently holds it in place again to keep that club secure and where you want it. So it's there's a number of benefits to the system.
That's wild. Is that the bag you use presently, or are you more of a chiller guy?
Yeah, I'm more of a chiller guy or okay. a hybrid bag because I do like the features that a stand bag gives you. Mm-hmm. When you it can extend the legs and just, you know, whether you're loading or unloading your bag or you're on the driving range, there are some benefits to a stand bag. So that what we call a hybrid bag is kind of a category of bags that are a little bigger than your carry bag. It's more of a cart bag size product, but it comes with the stand legs, and so it's a hybrid between a cart bag and a carry bag or a stand bag. So that's what I'm using. I am using the chiller hybrid.
Okay. Now, I have a kind of an off the wall question, and it's not really about anything other than that the personal perspective when it comes to selecting a golf bag. In the middle of this year, I thought to myself, man, I want something super duper flashy for whatever reason. Not like everyone else has. So my question would be for you guys, is it hard to make decisions on what a bag looks like from a, not so much a material standpoint, but from a presentation standpoint, colors, you know, doing some patterns or anything like that? Have you taken any risks there, or you just like to have a solid variety for the more common perspective?
So in general, golf is a very conservative game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that certainly that's changing. I mean, the growth of golf in the last couple of years has been amazing, and we have a lot of new golfers and new demographics, and it's really been a boon for the sport and, you know, something that we really are excited about. And so, yes, there's demand for different looking products and more colorful products, and we're embracing that. But at the end of the day, you know, like it or not, the traditional golf bag that's primarily black with a subtle accent color is the one that sells, you know, so much better than all the others. Mm-hmm. But we want to cater to as many golfers as we can. And so, you know, within a model golf bag like the Chiller, we're going to have 6, 8, 10 colors. And we know we're going to sell a lot of the conservative ones, but we're going to make sure we have some really bright colors and some whites and oranges and lime greens and reds and mix those up. And you'll see those accent colors on our push carts as well. So they match up with the golf bags. And you know, the materials are important too. You mentioned, you know, you noted shiny. I mean, the material needs to pop. It needs to have a, you know, a little bit of a texture to it, and multiple textures, you know, give you more of a pop as well. So I think golf bags have improved a lot over the years, and they've also improved in the look and the feel. And like you said, just that that consumer experience or that first glance at the bag, you're going to notice it much more so than you would have, you know, 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. The new term we like to use is spicy. We want a spicy looking golf bag. It's something exactly. Something you take out to those 50-year-old dad's buddies, 60, you know, whatever age it is, and they just look at you and shake your head until you swing, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So you had mentioned the last couple of years, and I think it's worth chatting about because golf is in a very, very good place right now. It's my understanding that you've been able to weather that storm pretty well, and early on you saw some incredible benefits of that transition into a more of a walking experience for golfers. Has that changed or leveled off a bit in the last 12 months, or has it kind of continued to be crazy?
It's continued, which, you know, it's a good problem, you might say. I mean, we're certainly enjoying and appreciating the growth of golf, and so as bad as this pandemic has been, there's certainly some positives that certain industries have taken from this. And so golf is one of them. Golf is a social distancing sport. And so at the height of the pandemic, when everything was locked down and we were all social distancing, golf continued. And so a lot of people who maybe had stopped playing the game over the last 5 or 10 years or just got away from it, came back to the game. A lot of people who had never played the game embraced it. And so golf is booming. Record participation, record rounds played. And yes, it has continued. I mean, that was the big question. Once more activities opened up and you know, kids sports opened up and travel ball and other things that we're able to do now, the thought was that, well, golf's really going to slow down then. And fortunately for the industry, golf is a very addictive game. People fall in love with it. And so we have a lot of people who have fallen in love again. And golf has never been stronger. The industry is fantastic. And the participation and play have continued to grow from last year's increases. So, you know, that just brings on a whole new set of challenges, which are good challenges. But now we're all trying to bring as much product into the market as we can, and we're challenged to do that. So, you know, it started with, because of the early lockdowns, there were golf courses and private clubs that would allow people to come play, but maybe the club itself wasn't open. So because the club wasn't open, you couldn't use a riding cart. So you had to walk the course. And so there was a real rush for push carts, because a lot of people, maybe they're not physically capable of carrying their clubs around the course or didn't want to. And so push carts have been a big part of this golf boom. And that's continued. We've been very pleased and surprised at how the demand has continued. And so there's just so many new golfers embracing push carts that it's become a big part of our growth.
Is there one product you guys have sold insanely well that you didn't expect to be sort of a leader in that? There's obviously the big ones, the popular products, but is there anything from your line sort of surprised you in the numbers?
Yeah. So Bag Boy is part of Dynamic Brands, which is our parent company. And we have a number of different brands within our family. And we have a couple ball retriever brands, Search and Rescue and I Gotcha. So you can imagine the number of rounds that are being played, the number of golf balls that are being lost by all these beginning golfers. We've been just shocked at the number of ball retrievers we've sold over the last, you know, 18 months.
That's awesome. I didn't even think about that, but that's, yeah, probably a perfect one. Yeah, what about your challenges from purely getting materials and product in general? Like, obviously the demand's there. Is the ability to sell it been consistent for you, or have you met some challenges along the way?
Yes, there's been a number of challenges logistically getting product to the marketplace. And so I'm sure, you know, you and your listeners have heard about it. It's not just the golf industry. It's a lot of industries. And just in general, bringing product in from Asia to the United States and getting it on a ship, a container boat, and getting it through the ports and getting it into the warehouse and getting it. I mean, even domestically, the FedExes and the UPSs are challenged to, you know, have enough trucks and enough staff to deliver the product. So it's been very challenging. We don't anticipate it's going to get better until, you know, late spring, early summer next year. So we're just working through the process and doing everything we can to get the product to the retail outlet as best we can.
So I want to go in a little bit of a different direction, because I've seen some cool technologies, and we've talked about them as well. Not technologies you traditionally sit there and think, you know, this is something that needs to be in a golf bag. It seems like Bag Boy is looking at, this is something we could put in a golf bag that, you know, improves the experience for the golfer. I guess my question there is it challenging to bring that sort of new tech to the space and sort of and validate the necessity of it? Because obviously it's going to be impacting on price. It's not just a standard bag, it's a bag plus. So when you it's twofold. Number one, is it challenging to validate those types of additions to your bags? And number two, is it challenging to get in that brain trust and say, all right, let's create something different. And how do we get to that point where it's something valuable for us to add to our product?
Yeah, you know, you're going to swing and miss. I mean, we've had ideas, we've put features into products that didn't resonate with the consumer. So you certainly have those experiences, but we want to be different. We want to be unique. We want to provide something that the consumer gravitates toward and allows our products and our brands to be different. So we've got a great product team. Our CEO is a former product manager, so he's always looking for new ideas and new technologies. And you know, whether it's a different industry, we take an idea that we see in a different industry, or we take an idea from one of our competitors and we improve upon it and we build upon it. You know, we're always looking for opportunities and technologies that, you know, are in a different consumer product category, or just something as golfers that, you know, we feel like would be a nice addition to one of our products. So yeah, you know, you hope they work, and sometimes they work in a big way and they're extremely successful, and you find other companies copying you because they see how successful it is. So it's important to differentiate yourself. And as you've pointed out, give the consumer a reason to make a purchase. I mean, as we talked about earlier, durability is a big part of who Bag Boy is. And so we're going to make quality golf bags, quality push carts, quality travel covers. Well, that means they're going to last for a number of seasons. And so if we want that consumer to upgrade their product and make an additional purchase somewhere down the road, we've got to give them a reason to. And that's going to have to be a feature that allows them, and they want to use a new product because it gives them another benefit that they really weren't expecting, or maybe even didn't realize they needed, but they wanted.
Right. You know, one thing I haven't done yet is ask you about your golf game. Usually it takes me about 2 minutes to do that, but I'm so interested in talking about Bag Boy, I kind of got wrapped up in it. But are you a big golfer, Craig? What's your story in golf?
Yeah, I've been playing since I was a kid. So I've been playing a long time, and I had the opportunity to get some great instruction early on. And so I've had success in the game over the years. Probably, was a scratch golfer for a number of years, and now I'm more like a happy when I break 80 golfer. And so, certainly enjoy the game, play as much as I can, but don't play as often as I once did. And, this occupation, this profession affords me the opportunity to play some with some great people and play some great golf courses.
So you're in Virginia. Are you Virginia born and raised? Are you an import? How does it look there?
Yeah, I grew up in Pennsylvania, but been in Virginia for 20 years. Love it here. It's a great spot. A lot of good golf courses, and enjoying it.
The debate on the show always ends up being where the best place to play golf is. Now I'm Ontario raised in Ohio. Well, I don't know how to term it. I'm kind of hunkered down here at this point, so I'm not going too far, but I'm like a bent grass kind of Midwest golfer guy, even though I do love a good links style Palmer course. You've obviously had a chance to travel and play and experience a lot of golf. Is there a mecca of golf for you? Is there a place that you'd say golf should start and stop, or are you like an all for one kind of guy?
Yeah, I think growing up in Pennsylvania, you know, you grow up on bent grass greens. It's kind of who you are. I have lived in Florida for a number of years, and so I've played on that type of grass as well. The Bermuda, it's you know, the rough's different, the greens are different, the fairway's different. So, you know, had to adjust to that for a number of years. But I really enjoy playing fast greens, bent grass greens, or these new hybrids, and just a traditional Northeast golf course, you might say, is really what I enjoy and what I gravitate toward.
So gun to the head, immediate decision needed. You're allowed to pick one place to go play golf tomorrow. Where is it going to be? And it has to be a place you've played.
It would probably be Pebble Beach.
Okay. Yeah. It's you're going big on that one. Wow.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to play it a number of times, and just the you know, your mouth is open the entire walk. I mean, it is, every view is amazing. It's better than the last. It's just spectacularly beautiful. And, you know, just a lot of fun to play.
All right. Same question, but let's limit it to Pennsylvania now, since that's where you grew up.
It would have to be Lancaster Country Club. Amazing golf course. Grew up there, and you know, really a unique golf course in many ways. Challenging, but you know, typical of a golf course that was built around 1900. You know, not a lot of earth was moved, so you've got a lot of up and down and around, and just a great golf course.
So one of those, the golf course is more built into the landscape, and it's kind of grown in a little bit since doing so. That's pretty cool. You get that nice transition between opportunity and disaster, I think, is a lot of what those, like, you know, New York, PA, even some Ohio golf. It's that, you know, there's a lot more error to be had in that case, and the trees are not polite. So you must be a fan of a good punch.
Yes. I was never a good driver of the ball, so I was always punching out from somewhere.
Okay. Well, I want to get back a little bit on track, and I'm just curious to know what does the next couple of years look like for Bag Boy? What is the goal of the company moving forward?
Yeah. You know, we're excited with the growth of the game, and so it affords us a lot more opportunities. There's a lot more players out there, and so, you know, we want to continue to push the thought that, you know, golf is a game to be walked, and it's more enjoyable to walk. And so, you know, we've typically been a kind of a push cart bag company when you look at our line of golf bags, and so we're looking to expand that into more of a carry bag line and add the carry bags, because we know people enjoy doing that, and it doubles as a great push cart bag as well. So we'll continue to innovate and continue to give, you know, customers a reason to buy our products. But, you know, overall, I would say, you know, walking the course is a big part of who we are. And so we'll continue to spread that message.
So one of the things we didn't talk about was actually your travel bags, which are, you know, it's easy to forget that people used to travel to play golf. I've got one sitting in my basement I haven't thought about in a while, but yeah, is that something you see changing here soon, or is there any sort of demand changes over the last year now that some of the restrictions are making subtle changes?
Yes, we've seen a lot of change in the demand for travel cover. Certainly at the height of the pandemic, last spring, early summer, I mean, there was no travel, and that continued into the fall. And but fast forward to today, and we've seen a real increase in demand for travel covers and the number of golfers who are willing to travel and looking to travel. And so certainly there's still some restrictions with traveling overseas. And so that's made the U.S. Destinations much more in demand. And so we've seen a lot of domestic travel, and a lot of that, you know, even though you may not be on an airplane, I think a lot of guys want to throw all their golf stuff in a travel cover and have that organized, maybe even in the back of their car. So, so we have seen that, but, yeah, the demand for travel covers has changed quite a bit, and I wouldn't say it's back to, you know, pre-pandemic levels, but, we're certainly seeing a significant uptick, and we expect that to continue into 2022.
Okay. Yeah. I think people are itching. I know every time I've been not thinking about it for over a year now, and every time I do, I'm like, man, that sounds so good to get back out there and experience something new. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun to have you on today. Do you have any questions for me or any final thoughts to share about Bag Boy, the experience?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a company that's trying to make products that allow the, you know, the golfer to enjoy their round of golf. And so, you know, we get a lot of inquiries and ideas from consumers who also love the game and play a lot and have great ideas and feedback. So, you know, whether it's positive or negative feedback, we get a lot of feedback on our products. And so I would just say, hey, if you've got got something to say about our products or something you'd like to see when you play golf, yeah, let us know. You can certainly get onto our websites and leave a message and contact us.
So it's www.bagboy.com yep. And also very active on Instagram at Bagboy Golf. Craig, it's been a lot of fun today. Hope to talk to you again soon, and appreciate you.
Yeah, Dan, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Everyone out there who's golfing this coming weekend, have a great time. Consider using a bag boy and definitely consider pushing instead of riding. We'll talk to you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.